Mankind should not live by bread alone, but only by the word. And that's the living word. It's not just simply the written word, but the one that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Because he has established everything in and through his Son, Yeshua. To God, Abba, Father, be all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, Father, we want to make our hearts, our minds, and our souls open to you this day as we hear your word being proclaimed. But we know this, that you've also sent us the Comforter who reveals all truth to us. So we are able to discern where it is man or woman that speaks, or whether it is the word of God. May we apply your word, the meat of the word of God, to our hearts, lives, and souls, that our spirits may grow in you, and that we be cultivated in your likeness, in your character. This is what we ask in Yeshua's name to accomplish in us. In his name, in Yeshua's name, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, I promise to be brief. So the question is the same as the title. Is Yeshua your cornerstone? Okay. Turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew, in Hebrew, Matthiahu, chapter 21, beginning at verse 33. I'm just going to share here really quickly out of Psalms while you're turning there. This is Tehillim, which is Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is unbounded joy. In your right hand is eternal delight. You probably found your place now there in Matthew, okay? That was from Tehillim, Psalms 16:11. Now listen to another parable. Yeshua is now speaking to the head Kohanim, the Torah teachers, the elders, and the Perishim, who are the Pharisees. Now listen to another parable. There was a farmer who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, and he dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower. Then he rented it out to tenants. Then he left. When the harvest time came, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his share of the crop. But the tenants seized his servants. This one they beat, that one they killed, and another they stoned. So he sent some more servants, more than the first group, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent them his son. My son, they will respect. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him." Let us now take his inheritance. So they grabbed him and they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And who's he asking this question to? The head Kohanim, the high priest, who serves at the temple. The elders, okay, who are the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And they're also part of the Sanhedrin here, okay? They're the elders, the decision makers, okay? If you go from village to village, there would be at least, what, three elders in each village that would judge different things. And one of the positions of those three elders was usually the local rabbi in that village, okay? But here they were assembled where? In the temple courts. And what is right behind them? The literal temple of God. And what's been going on these days? Yeshua has been instructing. He's been teaching on the temple. And so the head Kohanim, which is his duty, along with the elders, they are to judge someone, a rabbi or a prophet, that comes and speaks to the people, lest they be led astray. Because the head Kohanim, what is he? He is the shepherd of the house of Israel. But you know what is amazing? He does not see this, but the literal shepherd of the house of Israel is standing before them and giving them this parable. But they do not recognize him for who he is. Okay, so we had to have a little pause here, you know, because you know what? They don't give a quick answer to this parable. They answered him, Yeshua. He will viciously, that's the owner of the vineyard, the farmer, He will viciously destroy those vicious men and rent out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop when it's due. Yeshua said to them, haven't you ever read the Tanakh? Wait a second. That would be like me walking up to the head of any department at the University of Minnesota, okay, a professor in maybe biological science, and asked him, did you ever take science before? Have you ever read any science theories before? Okay? That's what Yeshua is saying to them. And so you know what happens? I believe right now the crowd of the common people are going, what did he just say? Who does he think he is? And don't you think that the head kohenim and the Torah teachers, they're all sitting there like, is this guy nuts? He's got to be literally out of his mind. He's asking us this question. And what do? We search the scrolls daily so that we be walking to fulfill Torah. All right? So we had to lay this out that way because, you know, in our Western society, we do not understand the significance of what's going on here. He's going toe-to-toe. Remember, a few Shabbats ago, they were asking what shmicha he has. That is, where did your ordination and where did your authority come from? Okay? So this is continuing along that thought. And this is what Yeshua said to them. Haven't you ever read the Tanakh, which is the prophets and the Torah, the Psalms, okay, both the minor and the major prophets? The very rock which the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This has come from Adonai. You know what? And they're thinking to him, of course we've read this. This guy is out of his mind. So continuing, and in your eyes, it is amazing. But they don't see what is hidden before their eyes. That's why Yeshua has to open up their eyes. So then it continues here. Where was Yeshua quoting from in the Tanakh? He was quoting from Tehillim, which is Psalms 118, 22 through 29. This was sung as a song of ascent. What season are we in the scripture here? Not today, but they're in the midst of celebrating Pesach. And so the pilgrims from all of Israel would be singing these psalms unto the Lord, okay? And so this is what's playing in their minds, okay? Of both the audience, the common people, and also the head kohenim, the Torah teachers, the Purishim, all right, and the elders, okay? This is what it says, the very rock. And I add this so we'll get more clarification. Who is the rock? Yeshua. That the builders rejected. Who were the builders? The head kohenim, the elders, and the Torah teachers. Okay? And you know what? That is a partial truth. Because there were some of those, like Joseph of Arimathea, and others that would come to know Messiah. But you know, in their present standard, state, and mind, they were not ready to receive him yet. So continuing here. He has become the cornerstone. Hear that? He has become the cornerstone. Who is that? Yeshua, the only way to Abba, Father, God. That's the parentheses I add to it. Let's continue here. This has come from Adonai. From whom? From Abba, Father, God. Where did Yeshua come from? Abba, Father, God. Where was his shmikah? From the Father, his authority, his ordination. So continuing here. And in our eyes, it is amazing. They can't even see. All right? But the hope and the Redeemer of the world is standing before them. Continuing with verse 24. This is the day that Adonai has made. How many times have we misquoted that? See, this is in the context. For this is the day that Adonai has made. And in through whom were all things made but Yeshua. Okay? From the Father. A day for us to rejoice and be glad. Because you know what? They were standing in the literal presence of their Messiah, Yeshua, their salvation. They did not see him. Continuing, verse 25. Please, Adonai, save us. And what were the people, the pilgrims, proclaiming as they were entering into Jerusalem when Yeshua was leading them upon that donkey? And they were taking off their outer garments, laying it before him in the palm branches. They were saying these words, please, Adonai, save us. In other words, Yeshua, save us. Because they were all crying out this also. You who are David's heir to the throne. So let's continue here. Please, Adonai, rescue us. Hoshina, they were crying out. Yeshua, rescue us. Who is your Redeemer and who is your Savior? That's what I've added. Back to verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai. Okay? Who's the he? Yeshua. Whose name did he come in? In the name of Abba, Father God. Who is Adonai? In whose name did Yeshua accomplish everything that he did on this earth? In the name of his Father, Adonai. Okay, continuing here. We will bless you from the house of Adonai. Who's that speaking? All the people. And who are they blessing Yeshua as he was coming up? The common people. They were literally blessing him from Adonai's house, his temple, which Yeshua had to go in and clean out. Because what was going on? Money changers. And they were selling animals, right? And he said, my house shall be what? A house of prayer. And so they were to give praise and adoration to him who had been sent by the Father, okay? So continuing here. We bless you from the house of Adonai, the house of Abba, Father God, Jerusalem, his house of prayer. One was the season during Pesach. Verse 27, Adonai is God and he gives light. Yeshua is God and he gives us revelation to the truth. So now join in the pilgrim festival with branches there. And so that's what they were doing. See, this is written in the Psalms here. And it was during the season of Pesach. All the way, as verse 27 continues, all the way to the horns of the altar. What was placed upon the horns of the altar? First, it was the blood from the bull for the high priest. Year after year after year would be done. And then all the blood sacrifices from all the sheep or the goats that were sacrificed were then laid upon that altar. Continuing verse 27. Adonai is God, and he gives light. Excuse me, I got my order out of here. All the way to the horns of the altar. Where is the altar? The altar is in the temple of Abba, Father God, for his house is a house of prayer. That latter part I added to that psalm there. Verse 28, you are my God. Hear that declaration? You are my God. Who's standing before them? Yeshua. Yeshua is God. He's the literal representation of Abba, Father God. And of course, he would have to reveal and show himself whom to? But the high priests, the elders. This is what had to be done. And this is what they're doing. But their eyes are blinded. They do not see him for who he is. Okay? You are my God, and I will thank you. That's written in the Psalms. Who are they to thank? Yeshua. Is there any other way to Abba, Father God? No other way but through Yeshua. Continuing here, all the way to the horns of the altar, as I said before, for you are my God and I thank you. You are my God, Yeshua, and I will exalt you, Yeshua. In whose name shall the people of the world be drawn to Abba, Father God? Through the name of Yeshua. Those are things that I've added to that psalm. Then it says in verse 29, give thanks to Adonai. Give thanks to who? To Abba, Father God. For he is good and his grace continues forever. Whose grace? Abba, Father God. Because who established before man was even created on this earth the salvation of God? It was through God, Abba, Father God. And he sent his son there to be sent to us. Now back to Matthew 21:43. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of Abba, Father God, will be taken away from you. Who's he speaking to? The head kohenim, the elder, the Perishim. It's going to be taken away from you. Continuing here. and given to a people, a different kind of people. And what kind of people? Repentant sinners. How did Joseph of Arimathea come into the kingdom? By Yeshua pointing out the sin in his life and him going through seasons of repentance so he could receive his Redeemer for who he was. And he recognized it just prior to Yeshua's death. Because as you study the scriptures, he was one of the few that were there that took his own place where he was to be buried in that tomb, and he gave it to Yeshua. Think about stepping out by faith. Continuing here very quickly. That will produce its fruit. And what is the fruit of the kingdom? More repentant sinners. Are you not all repentant sinners? I am. And every time I commit sin, do you hear that word? Every time I commit sin, I am to repent of that sin. Abba, Father God, does not have the power nor the authority to forgive me of any one of my sins until I first repent of them. Some of you, that may be such a great, shocking statement. I did not come into the kingdom until the Spirit of the living God revealed to me, prior to me being filled with the Spirit of the living God, that I was a sinner lost, without hope. Undeniable. Yeah, but what about your father Abraham? Aren't you not grafted into salvation? No. No. Because if I was not willing to recognize, and you know what's beautiful about the Spirit of the living God, the Ruach HaKodesh? He comes and he places conviction upon our hearts and souls and never brings condemnation. I felt what? Just tremendous anguish in my soul when the Spirit of the living God revealed me for who I was. And so I could then produce fruits of repentance. Was God's forgiveness there for me? Absolutely. But there's step by step. Everyone that comes into the kingdom has to first repent of their sins. And what does 1 John tell us? We still keep on sinning, do we not? But he's giving us what? An eternal high priest who is there to pour his blood upon us. Only when we are honest. We cannot fool the Spirit of the living God, can we not? Do you want to play games? You cannot receive forgiveness until you go through repentance. So let's now go quickly back here. And it says this. Verse 44, whoever falls on this stone, who is the stone but Yeshua, okay, will be broken into pieces. I added brokenhearted in true repentance. There's no other way into the kingdom. But if it, who's the it? Yeshua, the stone, the rock, falls on him, the unrepentant sinner, I added, he, the unrepentant sinner, will be crushed to powder. That's the full illustration and revelation of what this word says. Continuing here. At the final judgment before Yeshua, the unrepentant sinner will have no hope of salvation. Why? Because the little one who's judging them is Yeshua, who is salvation. Because they have rejected Yeshua. God will never go against your free will. Ever. Why? Because he desires for you to love with him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. So who actually places us in the pit of hell? The lake of fire? Our own rebellion and our own free will. Let's continue here. Verse 45, as the head Kohanim and the Perishim listened to Yeshua's stories, they saw that they were speaking about them. The veil's been removed, okay? But when they set about to arrest him, they were afraid of the crowds. Think about that. He has disrobed them in front of the whole congregation in the temple court. Their hearts, their desires. They were afraid of the crowds because the crowds considered him Yeshua a prophet. What should have taken place there? The high priest should have rent his clothes and fall down and said, "This man has showed me my sin." Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Continuing here. But the head Kohanim, the Purishim, showed no repentance. Could they be forgiven? Not until they repented first. Continuing here. Yeshua is now confronting the head Kohanim, the elders and the Torah teachers, the Purishim, with a parable. Last Shabbat, Yeshua trapped them in the corner with the parable of the two sons, telling them the lowest people of society were way ahead of them in spiritual matters. Before Yeshua asks them where Yohanan's immersion came from, today he points out to them that they are deadbeat tenants, only looking out for their own self-interest. This should put to rest the notion that Yeshua was always meek and mild. That's not the Yeshua that's in the scripture. Yeshua confronted those who held false belief to save their souls. Continuing here, and Yeshua did it directly, so much that they wanted to put Yeshua to death. He's exposed us for who we are. How dare him? With what authority is he doing these things? There was no place for them to run. And they had to stand there and make a choice. Am I going to be transparent before the people or not? So continuing here. Yeshua confronted those who held false belief, and Yeshua did it directly, so much that they wanted to put Yeshua to death. But they couldn't get it done because they were afraid of the crowds. What Yeshua does here in this parable is nothing less than a direct confrontation. Aren't you glad that you have the Spirit of the living God to confront you when you're the sin in your life? I am. Continuing here, Yeshua takes a well-known passage from the prophet Yeshayahu, who is Isaiah, and Yeshua drops in the laps of the head Kohanim, the elder Torah teachers in Purishim. The problem that they had was they didn't see themselves in the story. But you know what? The lowly people were looking around like, oh my goodness, did you know what he just said to them? So continuing here, Yeshua was referencing to, listen now to the prophet Yeshayahu, is Isaiah 5, chapter 5, 1 and 2. And I encourage everyone to read all of Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah 5, chapter 5, but I do not have time today. This is what it says. I want to sing a song for someone I love, a song about my loved one and his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard and on a very fertile hill. He dug up its stones and cleared them away and planted there with the choicest vines and built a watchtower in the middle of it and carved out of the rock a wine press. He expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only sour wild grapes. And this is what's playing in the minds of the head Kohanim, the Purishim, and the elders, because they know the scripture and what it says. They did not have Facebook to waste their time and their lives on. Continuing here very quickly. These religious leaders saw that the fault of the vineyard belonged to someone else. They looked at the sinful people who were around them, the people who didn't keep the regulations that they set up for themselves, and they only saw sour grapes, the ones who were the cause of Abba, Father God's anger. So quickly, they said to themselves, at least I'm better than these people over there. But Yeshua now changes the plot. The owner of the vineyard took great care in making the vineyard that would produce the best fruit that there could be throughout the whole land of Israel. He put tenants in charge of it, and he went away. So far, everyone now is comfortable. But the head Kohanim and Torah teachers and Purishim listening to Yeshua are sure that they know where the story is going, right? The vineyard is going to produce sour grapes. In their eyes, the issue is bad fruit. Bad fruit, bad people. It's the people's fault, not ours. So continuing, in their eyes, there was nothing worse than people that were hanging around Yeshua. This rabble, right? because we are the mighty spiritual men. Continuing here. They were the sinners, broken people with broken lives, not keeping Abba Father God's Torah. That was the opinion of the head kohenim, the Purushim, and the elders. But those who oppose Yeshua have now fallen into his trap. They certainly did not see themselves as bad fruit. They lived their lives according to all their rules. They are the tenants who are now trying to get good fruit. But the vines keep making bad fruit. It's the vine's fault, not mine. Yeshua continues the story. When the time came to pay the rent, the tenants revolted. The owner sent his servants after servants to collect what was owed. But they beat and they killed them. This is a twist that the head kohenim and the elders and the Torah teachers and the Purushim did not see coming. Yeshua has lured them into a false sense of security. And then he finally lowered the boom. There is no mistaking now what Yeshua is saying. These religious leaders are just like the ones in the past that beat and killed the prophets of Abba, Father, God, that he had sent before them. The scripture is full of example after example. This is an ugly turn for the head kohenim, the elders and the Torah teachers and the Purushim. They are used to being the heroes, but Yeshua has made them now the villains. Yeshua carries on with the story one more unbelievable step further. Yeshua tells the head kohenim, the elders and the Torah teachers and the Purushim what they are going to do to him. Finally, the vineyard owner sent his son. Who's the vineyard owner? Abba, Father, God. Who's the son but Yeshua? So the tenants saw them. Who are the tenants? The head kohenim. He's prophesying to them in a parable about what they're about to do in just a few days. The tenants saw their opportunity to be free from the owner once and for all. If they kill the heir, they will have the vineyard for themselves. The owner won't have anyone to give it to when he dies. So they kill the son. They throw him out of the vineyard and they kill him. Then Yeshua turns again and asks these guys a question. They're now getting even deeper into it. They are now in greater trouble. When the owner comes back, what's going on? And what is he going to do? The head kohenim and the elders and the Torah teachers now have to answer. Why? Because all the common people that are beneath their feet are listening. They can't escape. Where are they? They're in the temple courts, okay? This is like you going before a leader of a nation and putting them in their place. That's what's going on here. Everyone in the temple courts is now looking at them. Everyone knows the parable is about them. What they say now is self-condemning. What from their words did they say? He's going to kill them. Who? Who's the he? Abba, Father, God. He's going to kill them and give the vineyard to someone else. We're going to be replaced. It came from their own mouths, but they do not see that. There must have been some kind of whispering in the crowd, some chuckling, some raised eyebrows. Wow, Yeshua has finally put these guys in the rightful place. Next, Yeshua asks them the question that no one has ever asked them. Okay? See, we're retelling the story, but now getting more insightful. Haven't you ever read in the Tanakh, Westernese? Haven't you ever read your Bible? Continuing, the very rock which the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This has come from Adonai, and in your eyes, it's amazing. Tehillim, Psalm 118, 22 to 23. And the people of Israel, for thousands of years, while we had the Mishkan and we had the first and the second temple, were singing these songs as they ascended to go and worship God during Pesach. So it's so ingrained in their minds. And that's why when these words are shared, when Yeshua declares these things, it's like it just plays like a recording in their minds. They know the scripture, okay? So continuing here. They want Yeshua dead. In public, Yeshua accuses them of being sinners. Yeshua now embarrasses them in front of the lowly common people. Yeshua made them out to be bad fruit. They are sure they have been more faithful than the average sinner in the street. They were convinced that Abba, Father God, loved them more because of what they did. Performance. And that's why there are a lot of Christian people right now who are becoming Torah observants. They're becoming legalized, and that is forbidden in God's word. What did Sister Nikki share today? You should not desire to be circumcised. Otherwise, you have to go and fulfill Torah. Let's go quickly back. Yeshua simply said, no, you're not the most loved of God. And Yeshua now points out their sin. They think what they do is more important than what Abba, Father God, has done. Abba, Father God, prepared a vineyard with great care to produce fruit. Abba, Father God, did everything necessary. There were the tenants to tend it and turn it over when the time came. They failed and they took care of the fruit. But Yeshua's confrontation is really a call to repentance. He was not saying, I'm more spiritual than you, because he was about to die for their sins too. Yeshua has convicted them of their sin, and Yeshua offers forgiveness to all, right? But he could not say to them, hey guys, in a couple days, if you simply just kill me, think about that, like Jonah, remember? The storm's going on, and they're all praying to their gods, and he's sleeping, so they wake him up. And he says to him, just simply throw me over the side. What happens? Peace and calm. That's what took place. But Yeshua cannot do that because he has to fulfill the will of the Father. They should repent, and they should be transparent before the people and confess their sin. Here's their opportunity, right? They're before thousands of people in the temple court, all right? Here's their opportunity to be true spiritual leaders of the congregation of Israel. But what do they do? Instead of repentance, they want Yeshua dead. Why? Because they're the tenants of Abba, Father God's vineyard. Wrapping up very, very quickly. Yeshua is calling his Talmudim to repentance. And the Ruach HaKodesh brings us to the conviction into our hearts. They were being the fruit of Abba, Father God. And they would bear even much greater fruit if they would simply repent. So here's some really quick commentary, because I have to speak on this, and I'll make it very, very brief. Dr. David Stern, in his the New Jewish Bible, the Complete Jewish Bible, he gives some commentary on verses 42 and 41. This is what he says on verse 42. Only a few months later, Kepha, who is Peter, told the Sanhedrin, which was the legal ruling board of Jerusalem and Israel, this Yeshua is a stone that you builders rejected, which now has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation in no one else, okay? For there is no name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved. That's Acts 4:11. This verse then contradicts a false teaching. The two covenant theory. All the nations have to come through Yeshua. But the children of Israel, they can come through salvation through their father Abraham. That's the lie. Which now proposes that Jews don't need Yeshua for salvation, as they already are with the Father through the covenant of Abraham. That's discussed in John 14:6. It is true that the covenant with Abraham assures a special place for the Jewish people as a nation. There are great and valuable promises associated with that covenant, but it does not guarantee salvation for the individual Jew. Alan, did you come because your parents or a family member came to know Messiah as a group? No, and neither have I. Individually, we had to receive Yeshua. As the Spirit of living God revealed to Alan that he had to repent of his sins, he received Yeshua. There's no other way. So continuing here. Kepha, who is Peter, here was addressing Jews, not Gentiles. And speaking by the inspiration of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God, he asserts that Yeshua is the only person by whom we, the Jewish people, both individually and collectively, must be saved. From what? From eternal destruction and Abba, Father God's fury due to our sins in that we reject his Son. And that only comes through full revelation of who Yeshua is. And there is no other salvation for Jews who already have wonderful promises from Abba, Father God. How much more? There is no other salvation for Gentiles and the people of the nations. Now quickly, verse 43. There's another false, damnable, demonic doctrine. I had to slow down to say that. Which is called replacement theology. Replacement theology, people use this verse out of Matthew 21:43, where it says this: the kingdom of Abba, Father God, will be taken away from you. All right? That's where they start. Yeshua is not saying that the Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox or churches, etc., or denomination will replace the Jews as Abba, Father God's people, as many Christians of replacement theology teach, right? Everyone who's come from the nations who do not have Jewish ancestry, you've been simply grafted in. You're co-heirs. There is no distinction between what? Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free person. Rather, Yeshua is warning that the Jewish leaders who do not look out for Abba, Father God's interests. Remember in the context, the tenants, the ones that were putting in charge temporarily, will be deprived of sharing in Abba, Father God's rulership. Remember that? Because it talks about what? It talks about there being what? Judges over the 12 tribes of Israel. Who are they? The 12 apostles. It's in Scripture. And this is what is in reference to. They will be deprived of the rewards and will fall into a different group of Jewish leaders. The Messianic Jewish Talmudim, the disciples caring for Yeshua's Messianic community. But it would be later then, of course, be passed on to the community, which includes Gentiles from the nations who are Messianic believers, would then later become leaders too. All right? So Yeshua is calling his Talmudim to repentance. And the Ruach HaKodesh brings us the conviction into our hearts that we, being the fruit of Abba, Father God, would bear good fruit. You know how we do that? By repenting. By allowing the Spirit of the living God to search our hearts, minds, and souls, and to go through and produce fruits of repentance. Then we can receive forgiveness. If I harbor a sin in my heart against anyone or God, God cannot forgive me. It's only through repentance and acknowledging God for who he is and Yeshua sitting on the throne of my life that I can receive forgiveness. What did Paul say? Lest I be a castaway. Continuing here. Yeshua assures us forgiveness, for he has for us. Yeshua was cast out and he was punished and put to death for us. He is our eternal head koinim who dwells in our temples, always interceding on our behalf and cleansing us from our sins as we repent, and only when we repent, and applying his blood to us to cleanse us from all righteousness. To God be all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Shabbat Shalom.